Sylvia Walker, resident financial advisor. A very good morning to you. Thank you so much for joining us. How are you this Friday?
I'm great, Abs, and you?
I'm absolutely fantastic. Sylvia, we've been playing MP the whole morning, you know,
okay.
Because the call is out there to support the 2023 World Cup bid. Now, you see, when it comes to campaign, the South African campaign, especially the sporting ones. I like supporting, but unfortunately, I don't have anything green, so I'm going to get one after the show. But nonetheless, do you remember 1995?
Oh, yes, vividly. Absolutely, yeah.
Do you remember that song, The World in Union? I know we're supposed to talk finances, but I thought, let me put you in that mindset. Have a listen to this. Okay, it seems like we don't have that ready as yet, but nonetheless, I'll play it for you, maybe.
I remember vividly.
Yes.
Here we go. There we go.
Mm. Oh. And then when that plane came down.
The plane. And you know, I just remember Madiba standing on the field in his rugby jersey. Ah. That is an image burnt into my memory forever. Yeah, it was amazing. Sure.
And you know what, Sylvia? And now we have agents here in the studio that are supporting the All Blacks, like Rafiq. They're saying that we bought that World Cup in 1995.
Oh,
can you imagine that? Can you imagine? These are
the
agents. Yeah, I'll deal with them. Don't worry. I will deal appropriately with them. Sylvia, though.
Just wait till after 6 o'clock.
That's the one. To you listening at home, 15 minutes past five. Good morning to you. Thank you so much for joining us in conversation. This is Sylvia Walker joining you in the line, as she does every Friday around about this time, to talk to you and give you advice when it comes to finances. And this morning, it's a very particular topic, an interesting one, where we ask, when is the right time to stop supporting your adult children financially? Sylvia, I've always felt that had I finished university and I was staying with my parents, it would have gone a long way to assist me, you know, saving on that rent money, saving on that petrol money, saving on those groceries, saving on that laundry money, saving on that pocket money even, you know.
Yes, absolutely.
When is the right time? I mean, can you give us a background on this?
Yes, you know, Abs, the thing is that by living at home, obviously, is a lot cheaper than living on your own. But that's a decision that happens, I think, in many families. You know, some young people want to move out quite soon. Others are quite happy to stay at home. And, you know, and even though they're studying or they're working, they're quite happy to stay at home. It often happens, too, though, I suppose, out of necessity. You know, you may want to go, let's say that your child may want to go to a university or go and study, and it's not close to where you live. So you then need to make provision for them, or that, you know, there needs to be allowance for them to actually stay in res or get accommodation close to where they're studying. But it is a point everybody reaches in their lives, anyone with a child, you know, at some stage that child is going to have to leave home, obviously.
Have to? Says who, Sylvia?
Well,
says who?
I suppose. I mean, I think it's all part of the progression of life, isn't it? I mean, you can't stay at home until you're 40.
You
want to
bet?
I have actually known one or two people have done that, but it's not always a great idea, because you've got to go out and spread your wings as well. That's all part of the progression of life.
All right. 17 minutes past five. Let's open up the discussion to you sitting at home. 021-446-0567. I mean, how old are your kids? Are they still staying with you at home? Are you still supporting them financially? Would really love to find out from you. So, Sylvia, we're saying, okay, there should actually be a cutoff point for helping your children out financially. I would imagine it helps them also to stand on their own two feet. But what if you have an adult child who has always been able to rely on you financially, and now you need to draw the line in the sand, but you haven't ever learnt about the, you haven't taught them about the value of money as yet. Is it too late?
Yeah, Abs, I think the risk one runs, you know, once your adult child leaves home, obviously you expect them to stand on their own two feet. But the risk one runs is that obviously that child will perhaps always still come running home to mom and dad, you know, when there's a problem or a crisis. So, and I think there's a big difference between having an emergency in your life. So let's say you have a real emergency and you need someone to help you out financially. And that would include perhaps like losing your job or, you know, an illness, an unexpected illness that's going to cost a lot of money. So there's a difference between wanting help from your parents in that situation and actually just a case of, you know what, I can't come out every month on my budget. So I have to run home every time and say, please bail me out. Big difference. And the thing really is that as parents, we need to teach our children the basics of budgeting and the basics of managing with money so that actually when they leave home one day, they're able to stand on their own two feet. You know, it's not a case of just, I've got someone to rescue me every time. That's the mindset I think one wants to prevent. And there are situations like that where, you know, they keep coming home and keep asking for money and keep asking for bailouts. And one doesn't want that. Because I think the thing too is that you actually end up, as a parent, you can feel quite resentful. Because, you know, it's almost like you've been taken advantage of. Your kids keep asking and you keep giving and you keep giving.
Let me ask you though, Sylvia. What if, you know, my wife and I don't agree on this? Because I'll give you an example of me. I'll use myself as an example. There were times when I went back home and I said to my parents, listen, I know I'm already working, but I need the help on this. My father would have none of it. He says, no, I took you to university. I paid for everything. You never needed anything else. You know, I sorted everything out for you. You were good. I can't give you any more. But my mother, you know, and I love her bank. You know, I always called her bra. Her bra is the bank. Yeah. That's where all the money comes out of. I don't know why people do that, but yes, that's where the money came off. And she gave it to me.
It's a girl thing, I think, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's an interesting one, that, because obviously I think you often find one parent is more sympathetic than the other. But really, that can also cause huge conflict. I mean, I don't know if your dad ever knew that your mother was slipping you money. Would be interesting to know. But really, one needs to work as a team with the spouse, you know, with your husband or your wife. You must decide together. This is the approach and you know, this is what we're going to do, because it can cause huge conflict between the couple, you know what I mean, if the one is a disagreement. And the other thing, too, is I think, you know, if you are going to give your child money or lend them money, they need to pay it back. It must be seen as a loan. It's not just this bottomless pit that I can keep dipping into. But yeah, they should agree. Husband and wife should agree on the approach. Absolutely.
All right. And so, you know, your children now have left home, Sylvia. Maybe they've gone to university, or they found a place to stay on their own, or they got married, started a family, but then they hit, you know, problems and there's a divorce involved there. Should you then help them out when they face big financial demands, or should you, you know, be self-sufficient? Should they be on their own?
Yeah, I think as I said earlier, you know, if there's a crisis, it's absolutely fine to help them out. Very important, as I mentioned earlier, to actually help your children to understand as they're growing up how to budget, how to work with the money that they've got. So when, you know, when somebody moves out into the big wide world, it is expensive out there. So you may want to initially help them with a deposit if they want to buy a home. If you're fortunate enough to be able to do that, I must just add that. Because obviously people, too, as they get older, need to preserve their cash because, you know, we've got longevity and all of that stuff. So they've got to make sure they're taken care of. But if you can actually help them to perhaps lend the money for a, you know, for their first home, for a bond, the deposits on the bond on a home. And then also, you know, if they need to buy a car, for instance, like often if you need to buy your first car, it's a problem. You can't get credits because you haven't really got a credit record. So the parent can stand surety for them. But all of that must be still the child's responsibility to pay back. So when there's a crisis, absolutely help them out. But if you can, it should be a loan. Because it's all part of learning to actually be financially independent. Because, you know, if you're always there, if you've got this bank of mom and dad, it's always available and I can always go and withdraw some funds. One day that will be finished and that will be up. So if I don't learn to cope with what I'm earning as an adult, I will hit a crisis at some point in that there will no longer be those, you know, those funds available.
Isn't life just fun? You spend your life as a teenager wanting to be an adult, and once you become an adult, you spend your life wanting to be a teenager. 22 minutes past five. Good morning to you. You're listening to Sylvia Walker on Money Matters. We're chatting money as we do every Friday, just trying to give you some advice. And the topic for today is, should there be a cutoff point for helping your children out financially? Also, to you listening at home, how old are your children? Are you still assisting them financially? When are you planning to cut them off? 021-446-0567 is the number to dial. Send your SMS to 0891-8531-567. Are you finding it difficult to do so? Are you agreeing with your partner on this, or are you disagreeing with your partner on this? Would love to find out from you. Sylvia, then, for many parents, though, I mean, career comes first. And then once you've made it in life, then you'll have your children later in life. What are you doing? What should I take into consideration if I decide then to have a baby in my late 30s or early 40s?
Yes, as a lot of people are doing that, if you just look at the patterns of birth rates in South Africa. In fact, it's increased a bit. It used to be the late 20s. It's now sort of early 30s that people have their first child. But also, apart from the career, a lot of people are getting divorced and remarrying. And by doing that, starting a new family often. And what happens is if you're having a baby, let's say in your late 30s or early 40s, that simply means you're still going to have dependent children when you reach retirement age. And one doesn't always think about that, you know, when you are starting that new family with a new partner. So that's the impact on you, in that you might be 60 or 65 and still have a child that's perhaps at university. And they're putting a lot of financial strain on you at that point, when you actually should be, you know, sort of slowing down and starting to take care of yourself financially.
Sheesh, at retirement age. I wonder how people deal with that.
But one doesn't always think about it, because, and I've known situations where the woman is 40 and the husband is 50 and they have a baby. So he's 50 and he's got a new baby. So by the time he's 60, the child's only 10. So as I say, you don't think about it in that sort of emotional heat of the moment, you know, when you're starting the family and all of that. But if you just think about it logically, when does he ever reach the point of retirement?
So when you're 65, the child is 15. The child is at the prime, where they don't want to listen. They're going left, right, and center. All right, nonetheless, Sylvia, though, you know, what about children living at home? Okay, they may be working, earning their money. Should they be contributing to the rent, no matter how small it is? And how do you work out how much they should be paying?
And so I think they should be. I think it's a very good principle. Even if they are just earning a little bit of money, it could be something as simple as buying a bit of electricity every month, or contributing in some way, buying a little bit of groceries. So I think it's a very good principle and a lesson to impart from an early age or from a young working standpoint. The moment they do start working, they should actually contribute. There's no hard and fast rules, though. So you need to help them work out a budget. They may be a student, and if they're a student and they're working part-time, you might say, okay, fine, let that money that they earn pay for their transport or their entertainment. But if they're actually earning doing a job and earning a salary, then absolutely they should contribute, as I say, even if it's a small amount, because that is how life works. You know, there ain't no free lunch out there. So start getting into that discipline from a young age.
Hey, Sylvia, you are harsh.
You think so?
No, actually, I agree with you, but I'm just thinking, if I was staying at home with my parents, I'd be like, oh, come on, guys. Oh, come on. Where's my social life going to come from if I have to pay rent while I'm staying with you guys? But all right, Sylvia, then, what about parents, though, who say, I want to see my children enjoy the money I've made? I hope my parents were like that. I mean, they are going to... The child is going to inherit it anyway, so... Let me just be around to help them spend it so I can make sure they spend it responsibly. That's a right way of thinking.
Well, it's fantastic if you've got a bottomless pit of money. Then that's fine. You know what I mean? If you can actually let the children spend and there's enough for you. But my concern always with people, with aging people, is that, as I said, we are getting older and older. So, you know, life expectancy is increasing. And so many people run out of money. So it doesn't make sense for me to say, let my children have a fantastic time, you know, treat them to whatever it is, overseas travel or whatever it is. And then I run the risk as a parent of actually running out of money in a few years' time. So one's got to be very careful. As I say, if you are very, very wealthy, you can afford to do it, you can do it. But for the average person who's got limited resources, I certainly wouldn't go that route. I would say, you know, I need to take care of my own needs first. And we all need to take care of our own needs. So I take care of my needs and what's important to me. And my children must then also, you know, support themselves and take care of themselves and save and budget and all of that stuff that we've all had to do in life.
Yeah. I tell you what, I suppose, you know, when I look at my little one, I think, you know, we are as a result of our parents, of what our parents made us. Yes, I believe that people can change, but I do think you can take some positives. For me personally, it will be that, you know, once you finish university, you got to be on your own. You got to go stand on your own. In fact, even as soon as university, you shouldn't be staying with me. Go stay on your own. Go find out what the world is like out there. That's what I went through. And I think it helped me, but it may be different for someone else. I'm not saying it's the same for all of us. But nonetheless, Sylvia, thank you so much once again for joining us on the show. We'll chat again next Friday.
Fabulous, and have a great weekend.
You too.